Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So we learn over the weekend a chilling new use for those empty computer laser printer cartridges.
Besides recycling them.
Exactly, indeed. A new tactic in the war on terror. A new potential vulnerability for the global supply chain. How confident can we be in the safety of all those delivery planes that are in flight all over America, particularly at night? And another plan for mayhem disrupted by Saudi and U.S. investigators. But when will the luck of these investigators run out? Those are all among the questions being asked this morning by all Americans, by people all over the world, really. After a young woman dropped off a bomb hidden inside a printer cartridge at a UPS office in Yemen, a few blocks away, another package containing a bomb dropped off at a FedEx office. Packages made it through four countries and at least two airplanes carrying passengers before they were suspected of containing dangerous material and intercepted. Joining us to discuss the screening process of air freight cargo and also to discuss this new tactic and what it might mean is Vincent Henry, who's director of the Homeland Security Management Institute at Long Island University. Vincent Henry, good morning.
Good morning.
Also, Robert Wirth is with us. He's Beirut bureau chief on the streets of Beirut. He works for our partner, the New York Times. Robert, hold on for just a second. Let me ask a couple of questions of Vincent Henry here to begin with. How vulnerable is this reliable supply chain of these extremely well-known global brands, UPS and FedEx, to manipulation and disruption by terrorists, do you think?
Well, first of all, it's not just UPS and FedEx. There are multiple shippers, involved in this incredibly complex network of cargo operations. There are multiple companies involved, multiple individuals, lots and lots of different nodes of transportation that are involved. You can see, for example. Even in tracking a package, something simple through UPS or FedEx, if you here in the States were to buy through, for example, an online catalog and have something shipped from California to New York, you can get regular updates using the tracking number. And you'll see that the packages don't necessarily move through the same nodes all the time, even though it's coming from one shipper to one recipient.
But because of this information, and it's really part of the product that FedEx and UPS sells, through this publicly available tracking information, terrorists theoretically can have a pretty precise knowledge of where their bomb or whatever the hell it is they're sending through these supply channels is at any given moment, which, again, the nefarious potential there is chilling to behold. Hold on for just a second, Vincent Henry. Robert Wirth, what do you make of this tactic? Cargo jets aren't necessarily the presumed favorite target of terrorists, but to bring 10 planes down simultaneously, cargo or not, would have huge global symbolic significance, I would think. Robert?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's troubling about it is it suggests that they have something of a new target. I mean, in the past, they've always tried to get passenger jets or individual people, and now they seem to be targeting the global economy. It's worrisome because there do appear to be people, again, we don't know who did this, but the suspicions are on Al-Qaeda's regional arm based in Yemen, and that arm seems to have expert explosive makers, and they seem to be widening their targets and expanding their abilities.
Vincent, let me ask you, how do we know if there are packages from this same plot that are out there that have not been discovered?
Well, we understand that, from the best intel that's out there is open source. There were about 26 packages that we know of, and I believe that was confirmed by the Yemenis. And at least two of them we know, the one that was intercepted in Dubai and the one in East Midlands, were known to be viable devices and to contain explosives. They contained PETN, which is a fairly common explosive. It was used by the underwear bomber Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab, the Christmas Eve bomber. It was used by the shoe bomber Richard Reed, and it was used in an attempt earlier this year to kill the Saudi deputy interior minister, Prince Mohammed bin Naif. Interestingly, the fellow who was the suicide bomber who attempted to kill Prince bin Nayef is the brother of the suspected bomb maker.
And he was killed in that attempt.
Yes, he was.
But how do we know those 26 packages don't have viable explosives inside? Those other 24, I guess.
Well, that's an area, at least as far as I know, that hasn't been revealed yet. We don't know public source where they are or...
Right, which
they
of course
have in fact been intercepted yet
is going to ruin everyone's breakfast this morning. That's for sure. But the detonator idea that John Brennan talked about over the weekend and other security officials talked about, that cell phones were the likely detonation source of these devices. Robert Wirth, would that require that they be detonated on takeoff or landing? Because at full 30,000 feet altitude, you're not going to really be able to have cell phone access to a plane with any reliability. What does that say?
Well, I think there are a lot of unanswered questions about these bombs, where they were intended to be exploded and how exactly they were going to go off. We just don't know at this point. I think we're just going to have to wait for further forensic information to get a better idea about that.
Do you think this was an actual attack or possibly a practice run for something else? What's your best speculation at this point?
Well, these were real explosives. It looks to me more like some actual attempt. But you have to remember that as with the so-called underpants bombing last Christmas when the Nigerian tried to blow up the plane over Detroit, it wasn't exactly a brilliantly carried out plan. I mean, even a screw-up by this group, in a sense, achieves its aim, which is
right.
it gets the whole world terrified. And it causes all kinds of ramifications across the global economy. So they don't have to succeed as long as they can get something out and, make us all frightened.
Robert Wirth, Beirut Bureau Chief for the New York Times, talking to us from Beirut. Vincent Henry, a final thought before we go?
Yes, I just, following up on that thought, this was a very low cost, very low risk, but very high reward attack. It was effective in terms of sowing terror in the West. If it were successful, if any of the 26 were successful, they would have a tremendous
Indeed.
Impact on a multi-billion-dollar shipping industry.
And certainly take a chip out of the global economy right there. Vincent Henry, a great takeaway, director of the Homeland Security Management Institute at Long Island University. Thanks so much.